It's squinting like this the whole time he's trying to see it. I've been on to him about it now. I have. But, well, praise the Lord, man. I'm telling you, the blessing is always mine. And it really is. I got met at the door with a hug. And I came inside, and anybody didn't hug me, I hugged them. So, amen. Boy, I love coming to this place. I'm going to tell you what. I've been blessed. Brother Terry's prayer blessed me. You know, most people would have said, Lord, you know, just knowing you makes it bearable. That's what most people would have said. It makes life bearable. But that's not what he said. He said it makes it, what was the word you used, brother?
Delight.
A delight. See, that's the mind frame, amen, that we got to be in. Because I'm telling you, most people, and I would have said that myself probably. I thought about that as he prayed that. I thought, what would I have said? I'd have probably said, makes it bearable. I mean, that's the thing that comes to mind. But Brother Terry said, makes it a delight. Man, that's the way serving God ought to be, amen? Ought to be a delight. Man, that was a blessing, brother. I got to tell you, that was a blessing. And then Brother Bill, always loved. That man gets into his singing now, doesn't he? And I'm telling you, when I'm in this place, listening to you all, that's a blessing. Brother Bill, boy, he puts it right out, but everybody tries to stay right with him. And I mean, put it out there. And I'm telling you, to the glory of God. I mean, we don't have... I stand next to this young man, and he can sing. I can't sing a lick. But boy, I can make a joyful noise. I'm telling you that. And I love doing it. That's why I sit up front. You know that, right? Because if I'm in the back, y'all can hear me. But if I'm up front, only the person sitting next to me has to endure it. But anyway, it's always a blessing to be here. Well, I love your pastor, and we did. We had the opportunity to get together. I invited he and his wife over. I told him I called him to ask him if he needed anything, if there was anything I could help him with, because I was getting tired of working around my place. And he said, well, actually, I do need to go do something, and you could help me with that. And I said, well, if I can help you with it, I will. And he said, well, guess what? And I said, well, amen. And so, and actually, the text came by means of last night's adventure. We did go fishing. I mean, some of you saw the pictures because some have asked me about it. And yes, it's true. I did catch the big one. And that is why we come to the text we're going to come to tonight, because God allowed that fish to survive after swallowing Jonah till I was able to catch it. And what, man, I'm telling you what, I got excited about it now. But praise the Lord. Now take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Jonah. You thought I was kidding, didn't you? No, we're going there. We're going there if I can find it. I'll tell you that. Sometimes things get out of...
Zechariah, Obadiah.
Yeah, Obadiah. Zechariah, Malachi. Oh, my. What a blessing. I'm telling you, I am lost here, folks. I'm not kidding. Brother Kenny gave me his... See, that's the other thing. I got so excited about coming. You know what I did? I forgot my Bible. You know what else happened? My notes were in my Bible. But I've been working on this message, and I was excited about it. And so I borrowed the Bible from Brother Kenny, and I went back to the room, and that's why I was late getting here, because I had to put down some words that I had associated with this text. And so I went back to the room, and I tried to remember all of them that I could, and I put them down as best I could. And we're going to look here at the book of Jonah. I'm sure most everybody's familiar with the story of Jonah, aren't you? You know, he was swallowed by a great fish, and then it's in the New Testament, it's concluded. That one's on. I turn this one. You turn. Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I promised her I wouldn't turn it off. So she said you did that to her. recently. But anyway, where was I adding that now? See, that's how quickly I get confused about things. Yeah, so Jonah, he's swallowed by the great fish, you know, and then in the New Testament it's concluded that it was a whale, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, amen? And so it is that we know the story of Jonah. Now, it really is... And, you know, Jonah's a minor prophet. Now, all that means, folks, listen, we talk about the major prophets and the minor prophets. All that means is he didn't write as much as the other guys. It doesn't mean that what he wrote was any less important. Amen. It's all the Word of God. And it's all given to us, amen, with us in mind. And you got to read it that way. And I'd never looked at the book of Jonah like that. I thought, what is this to me? I mean, what is this book to me? I mean, it's a great story, and Jonah tells it himself. It's a story about himself. Who better to tell the story? Amen? And so we have it. And so we're going to look at it, and we're going to make some... Listen to me. I titled this, Are You a Jonah? And I want to look at it that way tonight. We're going to look at it by comparison. Are you a Jonah? Let's bow together and ask God's blessing. Father, one more time we bow, and I prayed over this, Lord, and they prayed over this, and I just want you to speak, Father. I just want you to receive the glory. I want you to be glorified in what's done in this house tonight. I do want you to speak to the hearts, and Father, I want you to speak as you spoke to my heart when I looked at this in light of the comparison. And dear God, I pray that you'll open our eyes to some truths that will draw us to a closer walk with you. Cause us, Father, to be more serious in all that we do according to your will. Lord, work tonight as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, because it's rightfully only thine, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Bible starts in Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 1. It says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying... Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. You know, the first thing that I discover here is a man that was commanded of God. We take the word of God so many times too lightly. We look into the book and we read it, and we think, well, that's a great thought, you know, and I know who that applies to. And then if it does hit us, I mean, if it really does impact us, if it speaks to our need, you know, we say, well, that, you know, that's good, but, and we take it as though God made a suggestion. Can I tell you that every word's a command? Now, God gave you a free will. You get to choose whether to obey or not, but every word's a command. God didn't make any suggestions. If you want the blessings that are in... And listen to me. Brother Kenny and I were having a conversation today about entitlement, and we live in a nation of entitlement. Everybody thinks they're owed something. But can I tell you something? As a child of God, God has entitled you to greater blessings than you'll probably ever experience. Until you come to an understanding that every word is a commandment. And you operate under that thought. So we have a man that was commanded. And so you say, well, I wish the word of the Lord would come to me like that. And friend, let me tell you something. It's right here. Amen. I'm going to tell you. Now, I love the fact that the prophets got the word of God. I mean, they knew it was God speaking. Amen. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes they got it in dreams, and sometimes they got it in visions, and sometimes angelic beings spoke to them, and sometimes God spoke to them directly. And you say, boy, I wish I could get it like that. Well, let me help you with something. You're spending too little time in the Word of God. Because every time I open this book, God speaks to me. There's a spirit that lives inside of me that as I read through this book, that spirit moves on my heart. And I mean, I get things that I would have never gotten on my own. But God directs me and moves me in ways that are honoring to Him and profitable to me. God speaks to me. I'm not ashamed to say that. I hope God speaks to you. I had an encounter one time with God, and I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed to tell you this, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, and I'm not afraid to tell you, but I had an encounter one time with the Lord when I was in such deep despair over the fact that the doctor told me my son was not going to live, and I fell to my knees right there in that hospital. I mean, I dropped and pulled my wife down, and we prayed right there in front of that doctor, and I said, Lord, I will not accept this. I will not accept that you answered my prayer that I begged you for all these years, and I will not believe that you're going to take him from me like this. I will not accept that. And I mean, I spoke it out loud just like that. I was emphatic. I wasn't going to believe what the doctor wanted me to believe. And you can believe it or not, but I'm telling you, I was on my knees, and it was like God put me in an embrace. I mean, I felt it even. And it was like he whispered into my ear. I heard the words. He said, I'll take care of this. And I stood to my feet and I lifted my wife. And I said, don't shed another tear for that boy. Because the Lord just told me he's going to be fine. Now I'm going to tell you this, it took 6 weeks. They medevaced him up to Fitzsimmons Hospital out of Colorado Springs, and I had to drive to Denver to see him. 6 weeks he lay in that oxygen tent. 6 weeks they kept telling us that he was going to be brain dead. 6 weeks. But every day I believed. Every day I exercised my faith. Why? Because God spoke to me. You can't take that. I'm telling you, you get into the Word of God and God speaks to you. And I tell people this all the time. I say, look, I'm willing to discuss the Word of God with you. And if I've been convinced of something by men, you can change my heart on that. But when I've been convicted by the Spirit of God that this is what the book says and what God said, then you're never going to change my heart on that. You will never change my heart on that. Because if I believe God said it, He meant it. And I'm going to hold to it. Boy, I'm telling you folks, we got to get a hold. Listen, I'm telling you, this was a prophet. This was a man that got the word from God. But you know what he did? I want the word just like that. I do. I want God to speak. I want God to move. I want God to direct me. But I don't want to be a Jonah. Jonah was not only commanded, he was commissioned. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise and go. God commissioned him. I think there's a passage in the New Testament that commissions us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, I believe, starts there. What does it say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I'm going to tell you what, folks. Listen to me, just like Jonah, we have been commanded, we have been commissioned, and we have the responsibility to go. I don't want to be a Jonah. You know what Jonah did? Jonah got the word from the Lord. He knew where he was supposed to go. He knew what he was supposed to say. He got it from God. But you know what Jonah did? He said, I ain't doing that. Now, hold on, lest we get too harsh here on Jonah. Let's consider what he was thinking about. We're talking about the Assyrians. We're talking about Nineveh. We sent him to Nineveh. I mean, they hated the Jews. They had misused. They had mistreated. They had tortured. They had tormented. We won't go into everything the Assyrians did when they captured a people, but folks, listen to me. It was the most horrendous things you could ever imagine. I'll tell you a little bit. They quartered them. Those that fought in the battles, they quartered them. When they conquered them, they actually beheaded them and quartered them, and they burned part of it, and they piled part of it outside the wall, and then they put the heads on a stick, and they had their children march through the city. And then they posted that stick in the entryway to the city with those heads posted on it. These were a people that were just. And Jonah said, I'm not going to them. I'm not going to them. Now you see, when you think about it like that, you might have a little compassion on Jonah, but listen to me, it doesn't matter. God said. God said. See, we try to input our thoughts into it. And every time we try to input what we think, you know what we do? We compromise what God said. And not only do we compromise what God said, but we become conflicted in what to do. Confused, if you will. And I'm telling you, anybody that goes against the Word of God and the will of God is confused or completely out of their mind. So we have a man that was commanded, we're commanded. We have a man that was commissioned, we're commissioned. And we had a man that compromised what he was supposed to do. Child of God, we compromise the Word of God every day. Amen or oh me, listen to me. I'm telling you, when I started looking on this and thinking on it, man, it burdened my heart so bad. And I said, dear God, it's not even that I'm confused. But we have no right to determine who we go to and tell who needs to be saved. We don't get to make that choice. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. But you know what? Some that we're at odds with, God will open the door for us to have a witness with them, and you know what we do? We walk away. I ain't talking to that guy. You got to be kidding me. I ain't going there. I ain't doing that. Are you a Jonah? Are you a Jonah? Jonah not only compromised, but then he got, for lack of a better word, he got conceited. Oh, I don't see that there, preacher. Really? Because Jonah decided he knew better than God. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's a pretty conceited person who thinks they know better than God. Because Jonah said, God said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it for their wickedness. God knew they were wicked people. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee. Have you ever tried to outrun God? Oh yeah, you have. You thought you could get away from it. You've left church services fleeing from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God spoke to you. You didn't come to the altar. You know what you did? You hit the door, headed home, man. Outrunning God. You thought you was going to get away from it. That's what Jonah thought. Look at what it said. It said, and Jonah rose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He said, man, if I go far enough, I'll get away from God. And he went the wrong direction. He's supposed to be going to Nineveh. He goes off over here. There's about, I don't know, I looked it up on the map when I was putting this all together a while back. And it's about 475 miles according to the little, you know, gauge that you're supposed to. I checked it out. About 475 miles between them. The one he could have gone to by land. The other one he had to get on a ship and head out. Put some distance, put some water between us. Jonah discovered what we already know. And Jonah knew it too. He just decided not to acknowledge it. Can I help you with something? God is omnipresent. Now you know what that means. It means there ain't no place God isn't. Well, that's the negative end of it. It just means God's everywhere. Amen. I like it better when you say ain't no place God isn't. Well, people get that. Don't you get that easier if I tell you ain't no place God isn't? Well, maybe that's just me. You can't run away from God. But Jonah, he thought he knew better than God. He thought it got conflicted. He said, you know what? I'll just take off and I'll outrun God. I'll get away from this. I ain't doing it. So Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now that's Tarshish and Nineveh. Those are the two cities that are about 475 miles apart. So he decided to go over there. He said, I'll just get away from this. And so, and see, folks, I got to tell you now, listen to me. Even though God commands everything, you got a free will. You still get to make the choice. But I'm going to help you with something. Now, listen to me right now. This is the deal. You got to get this. There are always consequences when you go outside of the will of God. Listen to me. It doesn't matter how little or how far you go. When you're outside, we say this. You've said, I don't know if you've ever said this, but I know you've heard it. Someone says, I'd rather be centered in the will of God than live in the biggest mansion in the world. And that's a, boy, I tell you what, when you consider it, that's a very true thought. But that's not the way we live it. Now I'm going to make a statement here and I want you to get it. Because I've lived my life, and as I looked at this and I look back, no matter how desperately I wanted to live for God, no matter how earnestly I desired to do what was right, I lived a lot of my life outside of the will of God. And I'm talking about from the time I became a Christian. It's small things, folks. It's not the big. I never took drugs. I never drank. I didn't get out of church. I never did any of that stuff. But I'm telling you, I didn't always do what I knew to do. And we ought to always do what we know to do. We're commanded. We're commissioned. Let's not compromise. Let's not be a Jonah. Let's not get confused. Let's not get conflicted. Let's not get conceited. And I've been there. I've been prideful. Can I tell you, I told you there's always consequences for sin. Can I tell you this? The consequences are often devastating. But I want to give you a truth now. And they don't always just affect you. They often affect numerous people around you. Jonah got outside of the will of God. He said, I'm going down to Tarshish. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to head off and get myself on over there. Or Joppa, pay the price, get on over to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind. That's an amazing thing. You got a choice, but can you? Nature always obeys. Nature always obeys. Jesus, when he was on the earth, man, he spoke, "Peace be still," and the waves and the wind ceased. Oh, Jonah got on that ship. He said, "Okay, I'm going to outrun God. I'm going to get out ahead of him. I'm going to get on over there." But you know, God said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just remind you that I'm still here." And so he sent out a great wind. Listen to me. When they sail, friends, they chart, man. I'm telling you, they look at everything that's going on and they make determinations based on what they know. And sailors are very well informed when it comes to the sea. They didn't set out with any idea there was going to be any storm or any wind or anything. They thought it was going to be calm waters. That's what was indicated. But God said, blow wind. And the wind blew. I'm going to tell you what, God will send wind into your life. God will send wind into your life. And things start shaking up pretty quick. The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Man, this was no small storm, folks. The waves were beating this ship so high. And this was no small ship. This wasn't a little vessel. The waves were beating this ship so hard, man, it was about to tear apart. And look what the Bible says. And then the mariners were afraid. You see, the consequences of Jonah's sin didn't just come on Jonah. They came on everybody on the sea. And so it was, the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his, small g, gods, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. They threw off everything. Didn't matter value, just get it out of here. Just throw it off, man. They threw off everything off the ship. I'm going to tell you what, getting outside of the will of God costs you something. And it'll cost those around you something. Don't just think of yourself. Think of others. Isn't that the responsibility of a Christian? To think of others? True joy. The alliteration. Jesus, others, you. You get outside the will of God, you better be thinking of others. The Bible says they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them, but Jonah. Oh, glory, I can't get this, folks. I can't. I looked at this and I thought, oh, dear God, how does this happen? The ship is being beaten so badly, tossed about so badly that everybody's thinking it's going to get broken up. They're throwing the stuff off the ship. But Jonah was going down into the side of the ship. He's down in the ship, in the lower, along the side, and he lay and was fast asleep. I'll tell you a little story. My wife gets motion sickness. She doesn't get on a boat often. But she wanted to take a cruise. And those big old cruise ships, man, they don't hardly move. You ever notice that about a cruise ship? Man, they're 3 football fields long. It's hard to move one of those things. I mean, you cut through the water, that thing just, you can walk all over a ship, you don't even know it's going anywhere. So I signed us up. Took a cruise to Alaska. We got on that ship, and she got that little patch from the doctor to put behind her ear, you know, in case something, and she didn't need it. Man, you could walk all over a ship, you didn't even know it was on the water. Man, we went up to Alaska, we went into the ports, we went into the ice glacier bay. We sailed all over, we just had a great time. She said, I want to do this again. They were offering, if you go down and you book while you're on the ship, they were offering 40% off of another cruise. And so I said, well, we'll do the Bahamas or something. So I went down and I booked us on the cruise to the Bahamas. Well, that night... Now I got us a room on the 9th floor outside with a balcony. I had a balcony, man. Front of the ship. We're on the 9th floor, I think it's 11 floors. We were on the 9th floor, had a balcony, you could see everything. We were out there on the balcony watching the glaciers and stuff. It was great. So the night after we did the Glacier Bay, we're cruising back. We're supposed to stop in Canada for a day, and then we're on back to Seattle. Well, that night, she's laying in her bunk. All of a sudden, she's moaning and groaning, wakes me up. As soon as I woke up, I knew we were in trouble. Captain came over the loudspeaker. He said, folks, I've been doing this for 38 years and we have never, ever experienced anything like this. We were on the inland pass. We weren't even in the ocean. We were on the inland pass. 20-foot waves. Now, for those of you that know something about sailing or the water, you get a 20-foot wave. You know what that is? That's a 40-foot drop on the other side. And we were on the front of the ship on the 9th deck. And my wife was bouncing off of her bed, and I'm not exaggerating, this high. Every time it'd go up, and drops, she'd come up off the bed and wham, she'd hit the bed. I literally took the sheet to her bed and tied her down to the bed. The next morning, of course, nobody got much sleep that night. The next morning, 80% of the passengers were ill, and 50% of the crew didn't show up for duty. And you know where I went? To cancel that next cruise. My wife was never going to get on another ship. So I know what it means to be tossed about. But Jonah's down there. This ship is being beaten like that and thrown around, and Jonah's down there sleeping. Now you got to get a hold of this child of God. You get outside of the will of God and you stay. If you purpose so determined and desperate, you know what? You'll become so complacent that you'll actually become comfortable in the midst of the storm. Now, some of you may be there. Are you a Jonah? God's spoken to you. You've tried to outrun Him. You've done it for so long and you're so purposed not to get things right. Because you're not going to do that. I'm not going there. I'm not telling them. I'm not. And the storm is upon your life. And it's not just affecting you. It's affecting everyone around you. But you're oblivious. You're sleeping in the midst of the storm. I'm telling you, I started looking at this and I thought, Lord, I remember times when I was there. And I didn't come to for days. I stayed right there in the storm, oblivious to what was happening. Oblivious to how it was affecting my family and those around me. Determined I was going to get away from God. Not going to do that. I'm not going to yield that. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to go to that altar. I'm going to sleep in the storm. Are you a Jonah? Jonah got comfortable. Can I tell you something? Look at it here. So the shipmaster. Shipmaster said, "Where is that guy? We're missing somebody." So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" What are you doing? Can I tell you something? Your preacher stands in this pulpit week after week trying to wake you up. Trying to cause you to see the storm that you're in. Because you thought that was just a suggestion God had for you. And God's spoken to you about it. You've been confronted with it. You see, that's what the shipmaster did here. He confronted Jonah. He said, "What are you doing? Oh, sleeper, arise! Call upon thy God, big G, if so be that God will think upon us and we perish not." I had a conversation with your pastor just a couple days ago about a man. You talk about a guy that got himself in the midst of the storm and went to sleep. And he's a preacher. I tried to talk to him. Others tried to talk to him. You know what he said? These words came out of his mouth. "I know more Bible than anybody." And he knows a lot of Bible. He's very intelligent. He's very well read. You know the problem he has? He doesn't know what it means. He knows a whole lot of Bible. He got church in the middle of a storm. And he's just sleeping through it. He said, in 5 years, I've run off 70. Those were his words, run off 70. And I haven't brought in 7. The storm's been going on for 5 years. He's down to 3 people. They're talking about selling the building and closing down. Storm's been going on for 5 years right before his eyes. He didn't consider how it was affecting him, let alone all those around him. Wake up! Take a look. The storm's raging. Are you a Jonah? Jonah got confronted with it. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, and we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. You think people won't know that it's you? God will reveal it one day. And you may not see it, but others will. But Jonah was confronted with it now. The lot fell on Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Boy, they were asking the right questions. Who are you? Aren't you that Christian? They said they knew. Look at the next verse. It says, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, and the God of heaven, and which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew, they knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. You think you're hiding your sin? You think others don't see the storm? You think God won't reveal it? Wake up! You can't run from God. There ain't no place He ain't. When confronted, child of God, hear me. I put this all down in C's. Have you noticed that? When confronted, he was calloused. Calloused. You've heard it said, a calloused heart. Your heart gets calloused. You know what that means? It becomes hardened. It's no longer tender. It's no longer soft. It's no longer pliable when the Spirit of God whispers in your ear. Quench not that still small voice. Quench not! But your heart becomes calloused. And you don't hear when God talks. You don't care what God says. Oh, preacher, I'm not. I care what God says. Really? Then why aren't you doing what He said? Tell me. You say you care. Why haven't you come to the altar? Why haven't you released it? Why haven't you given it to God? Why have you put others through the storm? Somebody needed this. I never planned on getting this passionate about it. Somebody here needed this. I'm not trying to discover who you are. I want you to discover who you are. I want you to get out of the storm. I want you to stop running from God. The longer you stay in the storm, the more calloused your heart will be. But you know what? When confronted with it, when God put it right in His face, you know what He said? You know how callous His heart had gotten? Are you a Jonah? You know what He said? I'd rather die. I'd rather die than get it right. Preacher, I didn't see that. Really? Okay, let's look. The Bible says, then, verse number 11, then said they unto Him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is wrought and was tempestuous. And He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. I'd rather die. You say, that's pretty graphic, preacher. I hope so. Because some of you are determined to fight God to the death. I'll give you everything, Lord, but this. Not this. Not this. One little thing. One little thing. I said in a message just a few weeks ago, and it shook some people up. Shook me up when I realized it. You know, you can be 99% sure you're on your way to heaven. 99% sure. And open your eyes in hell. If your heart becomes so callous that you fought God, you're ready and willing to die before you change, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Are you a Jonah? His heart was so callous, they took him up and they threw him in. We don't have time to go through the whole thing. I gotta wind it down. Let me just say this. Listen to me. They threw him over. But God prepared a great fish. And He swallowed Jonah. Jonah went to rock bottom, folks. I mean, he talks about the fact to the depths that he went, to the lowest of the mountains. You know, in the ocean, there are depths that have never been, there are fathoms down there that have never been discovered. You remember a couple of years ago, they were taking that submarine down and they had built that thing to withstand all the pressure. You have no idea the pressures that are down there at those depths. But they had built that thing, they thought it would withstand the pressures, and they'd gone down and something happened and they were trying to get back up. And you remember? You remember that just a couple of years ago? And six people died because that thing collapsed under the pressure. Something cracked. And then it began to enclose, and then all of a sudden it just collapsed. That's pretty deep. Can I tell you? We sometimes get deep in sin. And we've got to go to the lowest. We've got to get to the bottom. We got to hit, you've heard it, rock bottom. We've got to hit rock bottom. Well, the Lord put Jonah in that whale, took him to rock bottom. And you know what? He got his eyes opened up in the whale. He began to confess who God was. He began to confess his weakness, and because he got under conviction in the whale. You know, one of the favorite sayings of the book of Jonah is that God's a God of second chances. That whale, God told that whale to put him out, and he spewed him out on the land, and Jonah went forth, committed to do the work. Oh, he still didn't have a heart for it, and we don't have time to go there, but he still didn't have a heart for it, but he committed to it, and this time he went. Is there something you need to confess? Is there something you need to surrender? I want you to stop tonight and check the weather. Is it storming where you're at? Think about those around you. Think about your family. Think about your church family. Think about those that grieve over you, hurt because of you. And I want to challenge you one more time. Give it to God tonight. He'll bring you out of the storm. He'll bring you out of the storm. Let's stand together, heads bowed, nice.